Peace to all of you. So we want to examine in Acts when the great harvest and revival, when the Holy Spirit descended on the apostles. So in this passage today, we will see 3,000 added to the numbers that we see. So the Holy Spirit worked on the hearts of those who have heard the gospel, and then they received the irresistible grace of God. It's not they have renewed their hearts. They are born again, and then they have repented. A new life. The new life bring them into a new living, and then they were counted among the people of God, and they live a brethren-centered life. This is the first and the recognized revival in Acts. So many churches and all look forward to such a revival in their times. But they do not know the work of the Holy Spirit that is in the hearts of people. When they hear the gospel, they are always focused on the external actions of the people. They look at numbers. They look at people saying the sinner's prayers. So there are many people who have a lot of gospel rallies. They wanted to replicate such a revival. Actually, all around the world, there are many conferences in Africa. So some pastors, they organize big rallies to cast out demons, heal people, to replicate this. To replicate this revival that is in Acts. If you follow the news, more and more ridiculous things happen. So there are stories like how after the pastor prayed for them, their teeth becomes gold teeth, and everybody is attracted to such a rap. And some people's teeth become gold teeth. How is this related to a person being born again? But humans are naturally attracted to such things. So besides all this ridiculous fake revival, and there are some very doubtful revival movement. One in the 19th century. In US, in the second Great Awakening, they brought about this. There's this pastor called Charles Finney. After I accepted the Lord, I have heard about his name. I read his book, Charles Finney. He's a very talented lawyer. And then he became an evangelist. Every time he held rallies, when thousands of people hear his preaching, people break up into tears. They repented and they raised their hands and they want to follow Jesus. And then they say that sinner's prayers. I'm not sure whether you have heard of this. Charles Finney. So Americans do recognize him as a great evangelist. They are very much they are very inspired by his work. Why is it some people are? Why is it that people will, in his gospel rallies, people will come forward to receive the Lord? They did a study. They realized after they study his rallies, and then they are very smart. He invented. So he invented this thing called anxious seat or anxious bench. So what's so anxious about this seat? Or anxious bench. Why are they anxious? Why is it a seat or anxious seat or bench? In this, they have been rebuked. They know. They bring these people to the first. So they bring them to the front seats. In the front seats, they know that these people are really very, very close to the gospel, and they are very anxious. They are rebuked in their heart. So when they have the altar call, everybody will stand up. All the people who, when the people around, when the people see this, their hearts will be stirred. Everyone will start to come forward to receive the Lord. Because this is something that he has stirred up the hearts of many people to accept the Lord as his Savior. But the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's heart, inner heart, is not something that can be imitated. And Charles Finney is also, every time he caught, he has the altar call, when they are being caught, they are also induced by the music to move them to tears. And what did he care about? He believed in one thing. He believed that a person's salvation is depending on this person raising his hand. So this, so it's different from the Holy Spirit working their hearts. So if you can motivate a person to raise their hand, then you'll be saved. It's not so much of the Holy Spirit working in the heart so that they will repent. So in every method, behind every method, there is a different understanding they have. When everybody heard this, in the modern church, actually Mary Charismatic Church, in the methods of many charismatic church is the same. It's the evangelical. He's a pioneer in the evangelical movement. So his methods and his, it's not just United States, but globally, those people who wants to hold gospel rallies. He use music. And words that will stir the hearts of people, and then using the impact of the crowd to stir people to accept the Lord. So there's another person 1 century later. There's a great evangelist. There's another great evangelist was his Billy Graham. Anyone has not heard of Billy Graham? Everyone has heard of Billy. He's a great evangelist. Everybody knows him. And he impacted the 5 presidents in the United States. He preached to 240 million people. So can you imagine how many there is in this crowd? He led many people to accept Christ. We cannot. So the many big churches, he came to Singapore once in 1978. I was 1 year old. I didn't know about that. When I read the Christian history, when Billy Graham he brought about this. He described Singapore as the Antioch, sending missionaries out. Victory Family Center, FCBC, and it's a these two mega church. It's related to the rise of these two churches. They were very much inspired by Billy Graham. In such a movement, somebody also examined. Every time he preached, it stirred the hearts of people. Many people come to know the Lord. They studied. 240 million. He preached to 240 million. So in all the cities, so many people come forward willing to give their life to Jesus. How many? So they studied, calculated. Three point two million people gave their life to Jesus in the gospel rallies. Among this 3.2 million, eventually they went in, they joined a church. Only 1.6% actually remained in church, and then they grew. 98.4%, they have no follow up on them. When such a thing come about, actually, we all look forward to a revival like in the Acts. Many great evangelists, they have actually, it looks as though they have done what the apostles in the Acts have done. But actually, if you study, we cannot really deny the great things he has done. He is a very charismatic pastor. He's an evangelist. But in his later years, so there's something regrettable because he's a celebrity in the church circles. So he's a Larry King. There's a Larry King show where he joined in 2 times when he interviewed Billy Graham. Can I ask you? You tell me. Is it only by Jesus Christ a person can only through Jesus Christ can a person go to heaven? When everyone is watching TV, he did not he did not testify for the Lord. Very, in this question, he is hiding not once, twice. Because it's not that he didn't. In his later years, he's not. He doesn't have the courage to testify for the Lord. Because of this, Reverend Stephen Tong, he admire Billy Graham, but because of this, Stephen Tong, Reverend, he doesn't really mention him, because in his later years, and he is not. I'm not trying to criticize a well-known or well-recognized evangelist. I want to bring up 2 points. First, we cannot for the sake of external revival, and then we compromise the gospel truth. If we compromise the gospel truth for the revival, in that revival, in the eyes of God, it's not revival at all. First, that's the important point. Second, we must know the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of men, so that they are cut to the hearts, so that they are renewed in their hearts, so that their life will naturally change. We cannot use men's methods to just to stir up the fervent, or use the influence of the crowds to change a person. A person accepting the Lord is really the work of the Holy Spirit. It cannot be replicated or imitated by man's methods. Whatever is done by the work of human hands really will have a gap. It's not complete. So in this passage, let's look at the work of the Holy Spirit during the Pentecost. Last week, if you join our service, we talk about Peter's sermon. We talk about 4 main key points: his life and ministry, his death, his resurrection, and how he was exalted. The last, he said to the Jews, "You, the one that you have put on the cross, God has made him the Christ, the Messiah." So the Holy Spirit, once after he has preached this, the work of the Holy Spirit is in the hearts of many men who are receiving the message. So when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to people and other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" This is very important. This is also our theme. They were cut to the heart. Some translations say pierce to the heart. Something that is going into the hearts. If you use many different versions, this cut to heart means is the heart is agitated violently. Okay. Have you been cut to the heart? When are you cut to the heart? When you are tormented by your sins. So we may not know this because we only understand this at man's level. Sometimes we offended by someone or we let someone down. But when you realize that you have offended God, that kind of remorse, that is something only Holy Spirit can bring about. It's an extent sometimes when you try, if you ignore this sense of being cut to the heart, you cannot really live anymore. So it's this kind of very strong feelings in you. They did not just praise God. You must really understand what is this cut to the heart. So only when you're cut to the heart, you can repent. If you're not cut to the heart, you cannot repent. You just make a choice, make a decision. Believe in Jesus is good for you. It's not like that. There will be no transformation. What did they say after they are cut to the heart? So they asked, what shall we do? Notice this. I realize when you ask them, do you want to believe in Jesus? It remains in the prompting in the heart. Yeah, I feel that Jesus is good. He has allowed himself to remain in this conviction. But when these people are cut to the heart, they ask, what shall we do? Only those who are willing to do are, if you just have feeling, you're feeling good, you're feeling remorseful, only if you just remain in feelings, this does not prove your faith. So if you truly believe, you will do. Your hands and your feet will bring you to church. What shall we do? So if you are truly cut to the heart, truly repentant person, they do not just want to know and just know, what should I do? Tell me what needs to be done. In the modern day deep believers, when they talk about some behavior, asking them to obey the Lord, they can't do it. Then they feel like pastor is accusing them. If you truly believe, you will be willing to obey. When God asks you to die, you will die. If God asks you to follow, you will follow. If I call you, who can resist this calling? So, brothers and sisters, what shall we do? This is a key point. Whether the gospel goes on for 6,000 years or 10,000 years, this, what shall we do? This concept of what shall we do must be in our hearts. In normal times, the evangelists will go to the sinners and ask them to believe. In a revival, sinners look for the evangelists. Have you heard of this? In ordinary times, church didn't see anybody and invite people to come to church. Do you want to believe? And then people will just think about it. In a revival, people will rush to the church. So this is when you go to the office, you know, people ask you, are you a Christian? I want to go to church. Sinners will come to the evangelist so that he can bring him to a church. This is the preparatory work of the Holy Spirit. This is unimaginable. This is the great work of the Holy Spirit preparing their hearts so they come to the end, so they feel a sense of emptiness. Hey, you just say a bit, they will believe. So some of us, some people, after you have talked to them for so long, they will just think about it. Why is this not happening? Because there are a lot of imitation. So when people wants to imitate God's work will not be done. You use your method. You use your anxious bench. They will cry and then they lead their own lives after that. So nobody can replicate the work of the Holy Spirit. We must be God-driven. I'm not saying don't evangelize. So if a person has not prepared a person's heart, you keep pestering him. You pray for the person. So some emptiness come upon him, and then you seize the opportunity. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." So four things, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it's the proof and promises of salvation. Four things: repentance, baptism, then this is the, you'll lead to the forgiveness of sins, and then receiving of the Holy Spirit. All these four things, let's examine all this. So we do not, sometimes we are not clear about this a person's salvation. So I just save another person. So four things. First, repentance. Here, did Peter ask people who wants to? Did Peter ask those people to raise their right hand? He did not ask whether. He did not ask you whether you want to believe in Jesus Christ. He just said, repent. Is it repentance and belief? Do you believe first, then you repent, or you repent, then you believe? Are they together? They are interconnected. I'm remorseful, I want to repent. If this, do you want to believe in Jesus, then you say no. No, there's no such thing, right? Oh. So some people say, oh, Jesus is cool, I want to believe in him. Then you tell him to repent. Then you say, no, I already accepted in Jesus, why do I need to repent? You cannot say one thing without the other. When you preach the gospel in totality, whatever you say, you must, when you want to, you want to, Jesus loves you, has a plan for you. He has an abundant life for you. After you have said all these things, but you did not mention sin, then what's there to repent? If you want a person to repent, you need to know that you must tell him that all men have fallen short of the glory of God. We are enemies of God. Where is the depths of our sin? If the church doesn't say this, if we don't talk about this more, everyone will have their own perspective of. They feel that it's like a Santa Claus, it's like a heavenly Father helping me. Everything that's all, but they have no cut to the heart. He did not save himself from this perverse, corrupt generation. 10, 20 years, we don't know whether he truly believed. Because once there's a problem, immediately compromise with the world. Use all the ways to. It's not like this. So if you want to repent, you must stop our sin. We must say only Jesus alone. This is offensive. He offends the non-believers. Oh, why do you just talk about Jesus? Because He is the only Savior. But to those who believe, those people God has called, this is the key thing. So Holy Spirit will do. Holy Spirit will just talk about Jesus, God's love. I don't believe in this. True harvest, true revival. People are cut to the hearts. They repent, and then they want to give their lives to Jesus. Because of all the idols, they repent and then turn away from all their past idols. Whether it's adultery, all the greed and lust, all these things, they thought they are very good, but they are cut to the heart. They cannot stand their own sins. You realize that only the blood of Jesus can cleanse you. Second thing is baptism. For the Jews, they are not baptized. Baptism is for... If baptism is they want to enter into Judaism. So the Jews think they are the chosen people of God. Peter says, you need to, in the name of Jesus, you need to be baptized. He is the one that you have rejected and put on the cross. So you need to be baptized in His name. So it challenges their dignity. This is the gospel. You must challenge if you are not willing to put yourself down. Why do you need me to admit that I'm wrong? Such a person cannot come before the Lord. When a person comes before the Lord, all your pride is shattered. If you are full of pride, when you are full of pride and you listen to God's word, you will have a lot of bitterness. But if you humble yourself down, actually, my sin is so. Our correct response is, my sin is not, is worse than what Pastor is talking about. When you recognize this, this is the forgiveness of sins. Some people say, I believe can already. I don't be baptized. I just need to know that I love the Lord. I don't need to be baptized. If I really love you, I really love this woman or man, but don't need wedding troublesome. Do you think that He truly loves you? We just live together. Don't let so many people know about it. This is a convenient love. This is not a self-sacrificial love. Then, so repent and be baptized. It's an outward sign of your outward proof of your salvation. The third, forgiveness of sins. It's not no sins, but because in Christ God has forgiven you of your sins. Although you have sinned, although you still sin, morning you sin, evening you sin. So He has not counted your sins against you. His righteousness is in you. So if you know, so they are full of thanksgiving. So you are serving with thanksgiving. You are serving out of thanksgiving. You offer you out of thanksgiving. You come to service, come to meetings out of thanksgiving. It's not like, I don't do this, God will punish me. Something bad will happen. No. not that. It starts from a thanksgiving heart. And your spot. And then he will flee from sin. He becomes enemy of the sin. After you have, you become, if you have become a, of course the power of sin is very strong, but you know, you will not desire sin, but you are in a conflict with sin. Some people, we have all certain desires, whether you desire money, fame, worldly recognition. When, if you are not born again, you are not in enmity with this, but if all the fame, wealth, success is something you chase after, how can you overcome them? But once you are in opposition with them, all the success in the world is appealing to me. My boss wants to give me a lot of promotion and increase my pay. And slowly I cannot come to church. I cannot do a lot of serving. But you know that the draw is very strong, but you don't have the peace. You always have this battle with this. If you are not born again, so if someone gives you some benefits, you just go where. So if you're not born again, you cannot battle with sin. The sin is not just the sins like murder, but the sin talks about that the Bible talks about is anything that causes a person not to obey God. So, but of course, if for example, if you want to take care of kids, you cannot come to church. That's a sin already. Of course, children is a gift from God. But if children can become your idols. So there's always a tension between sins. The fourth, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit allows us to experience the life in union with Christ. Those who believe, those, so they must receive the Holy Spirit. Once the baptism of the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will go through regeneration, you will rise up, you can also preach the, every Christian can preach the gospel. Everyone has the power to testify for the Lord. The Holy Spirit is not to make you feel warm. It's not to make you speak in tongues. When there's a wind, there's fire, and then they speak the tongues. When these 3,000 people received the Holy Spirit, did they have wind and fire? Because God didn't have to do this. When God first did this, it was a sign. This is the Holy Spirit. When they come upon the apostles, you see certain outward phenomenon. They speak languages of the native tongues of people. So it's not, it doesn't have to be replicated. We think that if you try to imitate this and think that if you speak in tongues, you have the Holy Spirit, that is not correct. So you must examine, you must study the Bible, you must look at the whole, you must look it in the context of the whole Bible, and sometimes you have to read it in the whole context of the whole chapter or the whole book. Every time God wants something to happen, there must be a reason. These are some things you must derive from the Bible. you study science is the same. Chapter 1 to chapter 10. I just chapter 2 to 4. Do you study science like that? You must know the whole. It's all connected together and understand them fully. When they receive the proof of it's who is it, for whom is the promise of salvation. Verse 39, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is first. It's for your children. Next generation. It's a pass on generation to generation. When parents are teaching their kids, the biggest responsibility is to be, all these are important, like getting them to be polite and know how to be obedient. But you need to teach them the gospel. You need to tell them the gospel properly. But my kid grew up in a Christian family. When he grew up in a Christian family, he has heard the gospel. Can he live out the gospel? Can he use the power of the Holy Spirit? Is he in his priorities? In how he manage finances and when he is looking for a partner, if you ask him to just come to Sunday, I only pray during the exam, and then problem there's this is something that you can't pass on generation. Whether you sit. When you stand, when you walk, when you lie down, you have to think about God's word. Everything, in all things. Until you do this, when the kids grow up, this becomes their thoughts system, belief system, their worldview is also centered on Christ. That's when then you can say that you are a blameless parent. You have given your kids the most important thing, the most precious gift. So this promise is given to you. What is the biggest? His family. He used everything he learned in church to. How will God bless something? You use all the God's word to accuse your children. Sometimes, why do you need to do? Why do you do this? Why do you not do this? It has to do with God's salvation and God's gospel. This is confirming this in all things. There is this God. In all things, everything exists for God's salvation. This is something. This is for your children. So there are 12 Jews from many nations. These are from 15 countries. There are many other Jews in other countries. There are also Gentiles. Then also unreached people who have not the chance to hear the gospel. Holy Spirit will through you bring the gospel to them, and then after that, they have heard, they have believed, they will be baptized by the Holy Spirit as well. It's not for us to just enjoy the power of the Holy Spirit in our room. It's just for us, for my family, and then from the four walls of church, and bring the gospel out. Why do you come to when you see each other? So they are also new friends, you can encourage them. All this is a work of the. Why do you go to the workplace? To for a few thousand dollars. So that you need to know people, touch lives. And this wherever God leads you, there is the work of the Holy Spirit. You'll be faithful, but your eyes must be open to look for the people of God. This is our ultimate purpose in life. So now when the COVID-19 situation is becoming better, I'm just praying whether I should go for missions next year, overseas, Malaysian. First half of the year, I should go to Malaysia. There are many co-workers. The first place we go is to Malaysia. After 14 days, after our church has a... So I've been to Malaysia and Taiwan. After that, we closed the church for a while. So I thought we should go back. But Taiwan is... They are very isolated, so Malaysia. Politically, we are also very close. But I'm also... I know. It's not just for our church. It's just the brothers and sisters. You must bring it out. So there's a... The will of God is... It is to bring the gospel to His chosen people. God, those that God has called, and those that God has called. Called, it's very important. Called. Church in Greek is called ecclesia. It's being called out. There's a concept of a church. What is a church? These are the people who are being called out of the world to belong to God. These will use the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit to call them out of the world. Every there is a concept of being called out. Last week, we talked about self-care last week. Self-love. Me time. When we talk about love, what is the difference between your Christian love and the love God and love man? It feels the same, but the direction is, the object is different. You must say that, you must differentiate this. The called out. You must differentiate. We talk about good deeds, good works, moral ethics. What is different? Just help the poor. Is that so? But Christian faith, your good works is motivated by God. Is prepared by God. Your zeal is not from your own zeal. So every time you come to church, you must have a every if the church is talking about the same thing about God's the world, the love, the good works of the world, then we might as well live in the world. Why did God call you out of the world? This group of people, the message they want to listen, the life they want to hear, it has to be different. When we turn the Bible, when we read the Bible, you must feel that the purpose, the direction is different from the world. There's a positive psychology, counseling. The Bible tells us if you want to heal a person, he has to return to God's Word. Go back to biblical principles, and the Word of God becomes his belief and becomes his attitude. No matter in whether counseling, psychology, it will not be useful. This is This is the sinful desires will torment us, because what we have and what you lose, what you gain, what you lose, it will cause you to have grief. It's only when you go back to God, the one who believes, who loves you, and then you will have abundance. This is something we need to differentiate. So, brothers and sisters, when Peter was preaching about the death and resurrection, after that, everyone was cut to the heart, and then what's the next part he needs to talk about? He must say something that is aligned to the death and resurrection. So, if you die and rise and together with Christ, now we have died together with Christ, and now we live in a new life in Christ. So here we talk about Jesus is the Lord, is the Messiah. So he used many other words. He warned them. He pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. You must save yourself daily from the problem with the church. We do not save ourselves. We teach the believers. So the problem with church, we sometimes teach believers how to blend into the church. So when they come to church, then once you use man's method to bring a person to church, then you use more man's method to keep them in church. This is a corrupt generation. Save themselves. What is crooked? Is the God is the right direction. When you want to turn to God, you just turn left or right. You have deviated from the way of God. It's not about murder and killing, but no matter what you do, the corrupt generation is really, no matter what you do, you are just not turning towards God. Whether it's a trend, culture, what the freedom they want, the marriage the people, men wants, but it's not what God wants. It's not what God has ordained. A lot of our troubles because in our mind, and what is because what we think and what God is telling us is there's a difference. 6 days we are in the world, we come to church on Sunday, we learn everything about the concept of the world, we listen, we are being influenced by the world, but when we come to church, we want to realign ourselves to God. When after that, then you will feel this corrupt generation will be around you, and you affect your children. So the church is to help us to turn back to God, but it's not the freedom of men, but God's freedom, God's success. All these are go back to what God is giving us. Go back to what God has given us and then influence. If you blend in with the world, whatever you have is what the world has, then why do they need your God, Jesus? But if you have is what the world doesn't have, is the better blessing. When the world comes to the end, they will come to you. This is what we should do. So those people who hear this, so verse 41, so those three thousands were added to their number. Three thousands were added to their number. From how many? From 120. 3,000. 3,000. 120. 3,120. 26 times. 26 times growth. What is the important thing? Everybody raised their hand, and then only a few of them remain. But if you read on, they all obeyed the teachings of the apostles. They gathered in their homes and in church, in the temples, and have a fellowship together. So to save yourself from the corrupt generation, how do you live? You have a body. To the first act is to bring yourself to church and center your life on church. This is man, 10 to 20 years, they do not understand. 10 to 20 years. If I'm free, then I come. If I'm busy, I don't come. Ask them to come to cell group. They think it's very tough. This is... So the encounter with God, and then the heart to be faithful to God's word, they come to this religion. This is to give me temporal relief. So after that, if I can come, I come. If I have time, I participate more. The birth of the church is not like this. When they come together, so they are in union with God. They are also in fellowship with all the saints. So if you don't come to church, are you in the faith? I don't know. So if the sheep doesn't go to the sheep pen, when we see that 3,000, this 3,000 added to their number, they are very excited. So they want to attract them to church. We only have a few hundred people. When we see, let's think of a way to bring people to church more and more. 3,000. 2,000, 3,000. Have you thought about this? 2,000, 3,000 people come to church. If they are not the cut to the hearts, they have some famous, they are those knowledgeable, they are the wealthy, but their life is not cut to the hearts and want to follow Jesus. 3,000 people, the church will be destroyed because the 3,000 of them, what they want is not God. The focus on... So the church has a lot of methods to bring people to church. So the church is being destroyed. You must think about this. We want the sheep of God. How do you have the sheep of... You must speak the... Because you must share God's truth. Because the sheep recognize His voice. This 1-2 years, we have increased 3-4 times. I'm very careful. I'm careful. I am concerned about what God is doing in our midst. I know when church, all kinds of people come. But I cannot say you are the weeds. But to come to church, if you want to come here to listen to God's word, there must be... If I tell co-workers, if a person come to you, he does not want the gospel, he wants men, you let him go. Of course, everybody comes here, they say they want Jesus. Okay, how do I know? You tell him. You use the word of God to encourage him. If it's not aligned to what he thinks, he will go to other places. don't need to. I will not try to retain those that God wants to bring away. When we are very clear about God's truth, church is not a club. But the sheep of God must come here. I know some are very weak and broken sheep, so they are hurt. This one I can, if you are hurt, if you are grumbling, I can tolerate. But what you want is different. Then this is very serious words. My God has entrusted me is to be responsible for the life of myself and the life of those entrusted to me. I just preach the word very carefully. Who will be so when the time comes, we will know. Let's pray.
God, we thank you.
You have taught us and encouraged us with your word so that we know that this is what you have entrusted us with, and this is so important. Lord, we know you use your power to call out the church, and so that all those who are serving you to know your will, so that they can feed your sheep. So Lord, you give us all the anointing that is apportioned to us. We know that you will not let even one sheep go, but Lord, those who do not belong to you, it will be revealed as well. Lord, you do the sifting work yourself in this great revival. But in this great revival, you help us to see the truth. We know that the revival in the Acts cannot be imitated by men. We need to preach the word that you have given us. And Lord, you will do the harvesting work yourself. And through the word, we thank you for healing us with your word today. We know there are some who are troubled and some who are hurt. But although the message we hear is difficult, but in this difficult message, but there is your love and your comfort and your renewal in us, and your heart is to protect your sheep so that the word is being preached. So you bless the church, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.